going to call the meeting to order at 10:01 a.m. Beth, can you roll call?
Austin?
Here.
Jacobson?
Here.
Leffler?
Here.
McNulty?
Here.
Murray?
Here.
Shepherd?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
This is yes. We have Deborah Wishmeyer and Bud Stoneberg.
Great. Any additions to the agenda? No? Public comment? No public here. Consent agenda? A motion to approve the items on the consent agenda?
I'll make that motion to approve A, B, and C as listed on the consent agenda.
Seconded.
Do we have to roll call?
I think so.
Yeah, it has financial impact.
Austin?
Yes.
Jacobson?
Yes.
Leffler?
Yes.
McNulty?
Yes.
Murray?
Yes.
Shepherd?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Still getting used to that. Oh, now you can use one for some things, yeah. Okay, moving on to business items, the executive committee orientation. Basically, this was from last August executive committee agenda.
Rebecca put this document together. This is a quick handy reference tool for all of you on your duties and responsibilities. Currently, we have one new member this year, which is Brian Shepherd, and all the rest of you are already experts as you're returning. Does anyone have any questions on committee responsibilities? Yeah.
Could we add in here who leads and when it happens the review of the executive director? Because I believe that changes year to year.
Not here, or is the outgoing president?
Outgoing president, yes. That's what I was thinking. So I just thought if we could add that on here, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I can make a note to add that. So
there was confusion on that last year.
Right.
Okay. That's good clarification.
So you're saying every year it's the outgoing president, you're just saying that the person in that role changes?
Right, yeah. Okay. So like here, of course, as past president, chair of nominating committee, if we could also say, like, you know.
That's helpful.
Chair of the Executive Director Review Committee or something.
Perfect. You're just giving yourself more work over there, Sarah.
Well,
so.
I don't want to forget it, that's why.
No, that's perfect. So we can update this document to include that under past president.
Any other questions or suggested changes to this document? No? Okay. The Innovative Development Partner Program. Deborah, do you want to give a brief update on that?
I provided an update on where we are in the project timeline in the packet on pages 19 to 20. So essentially, we've begun to meet with our beta libraries. We'll be meeting with them every other week. The plan at this time is to start recruiting patrons for user testing beginning in September. We'll actually complete that user testing towards the end of October. When that user testing is completed, CCS will publish the findings and issue our usability recommendations. At this time, we had planned to bring the vote to move to Vega Discover to Governing Board in January. I still feel like at this point in the project, that's a reasonable timeline. We may see some delays in the project timeline just due to development being slower than anticipated. We are already roughly 1 to 2 months, not we, Innovative is roughly 1 to 2 months behind their previous target of launching the consortia interface for Vega Discover. So I still feel like provided they release that UI within the next month, we're still on target to bring this to Governing Board in January. If we see some further shifts in the timeline, that may move back to April. So we'll keep all of you posted on what that's going to shake down to be. My question for this group is whether this committee or another committee or group should put forth a recommendation to Governing Board regarding the move to Vega Discover. Per our ILS decision-making matrix, which is on page 11 of your packet, it's a little unclear who would put forth a recommendation to Governing Board, so I would consider that this is an addition of service, so under the ILS setting changes authority matrix at the bottom, that would be that very last line, in which an advisory group or technical group would recommend to Governing Board the addition of a service. This is the group that previously voted to move forward with the development partner program, so I'm interested in the take on this group on whether you feel that you would be the correct group to make that recommendation to governing board. And if we are sticking with the January vote, that would need to happen at the December meeting. Or if we feel there's an alternate.
Are you thinking that you would form kind of an ad hoc advisory group for this?
I don't really think that that is needed. I know that previously with the move to Polaris, there was an additional committee. That was the La Lima committee that then was the group that recommended Polaris to governing board. We hadn't planned to create an additional advisory group for Vega Discover. We were planning to utilize our additional group structure to talk about Vega as needed, but we haven't quite talked about who would make a recommendation to the larger group.
Is there kind of a de facto group right now, though, of the representatives from each of the beta testing libraries?
We have right now 6 beta libraries, so each of them has a project lead, and they'll be the ones meeting with us. We could certainly have that group vote. They're not a formal committee, but they could definitely help us craft a recommendation on whether or not we should move forward. But again, they're not technically a formal group at this time.
I mean, I personally think their voice is the loudest for me. I mean, they're mm-hmm. going to know way more than I am about whether or not we should move forward. So if we can, you know, make them some sort of ad hoc committee, that I think that would make the most sense. If mm-hmm. not, then I think it should come to executive committee before it goes to
their recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. And that we would represent them mm-hmm. in the recommendation. Right.
I mean, I feel, I agree with Sarah, actually, but I feel like it just removes us as that middle person then, right? Because we're not going to decide because we're going to listen to what they say. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't, you know.
And we could have them zoom in to a meeting, one of our meetings, to talk about it if we needed to do that.
So, Sarah, your suggestion would be, obviously, we'll talk to our beta libraries and gather sort of a group recommendation on, yes, this product is working for our patrons, or no. That would then be discussed or brought to this group, mm-hmm. and this would then be the group that would, like, formally say, based on the data we've gathered, based on the usability testing, we would recommend a move or not.
I think that's fine, or if we feel like they, you know, are an ad hoc committee and they want to give their recommendations directly to governing board, I think that's okay, too. I guess it depends how much we want to formalize that group of those 6.
Would you prefer, especially with Rebecca not being here, make it to help?
She'll be back.
I mean, she'll be back, but I mean, do you think that you prefer from the CCS viewpoint not to create an ad hoc committee and want it filtered through, you know, already created committees?
I think really the reason potentially it might be more helpful to have it come through executive committee is sort of that broader lens of CCS services. I think the beta libraries will have a good idea of whether the product is working at their libraries, but this group might have an additional perspective on cost, value to members, sort of like long-term trajectory that group, at this time, I'm not sure they'd be prepared. We could certainly prep them, but I don't know if they would quite be prepared to sort of take that big picture look of CCS services. So I think my preference right now would that it would be that it would come to a governance group prior to governing board, so we have a chance to talk about what a new service like that would look like.
I think that makes sense because, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, the 6 libraries, and I happen to be one of those libraries that agreed.
Well, 3 of us are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that helps some, but like it wasn't when they put out the ask, like, will you be a beta library and you get to choose for all of CCS?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That wasn't part of the deal.
Right.
And I think we'd have maybe have like 15 libraries participate or 20 libraries, like, there's like, oh, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. It's actually.
Had I known.
Well, I mean, it's closer now.
Yeah, that's nice. So we should use TikTok.
Because there are 3 of us, though, we should be aware of, or make ourselves aware of what's going on. So.
But we were all elected and by CCS, the CCS governing board, to represent the entire governing board. The libraries there are not representative. The 6, even though 3 of us are here, the 6 mm-hmm. are not representative. So I think if they want, I'd love to hear their feedback. And mm-hmm. like I'm very interested in usability studies and everything else like that. And then us can think about the financial and everything else and think about, you know, does this work for all types of libraries from Evanston to Cary? I think that works better. So I think the suggestion by going to us and then if we agree to the governing board. And I think that could work for the January. Does that work for the January deadline?
That would work, yep. So we also have the one other group that will be meeting is the user experience advisor group. They'll be meeting in November. So based on this discussion, we may also ask them to essentially recommend to this group whether we move forward because they'll be more heavily involved in the user testing. So they'll have a good perspective on whether or not the product is actually working for patrons. So I think between having our beta libraries discuss the move and recommend a change in the usability advisor group, I think then this group would have enough data. Even though you might not be directly involved with using the product, you'd have enough information from those two groups to know if the product will work. And then we can talk again, sort of like holistically, is this the direction we want to go? So December would work. For that, then.
I don't think we're in agreement with this general approach.
Okay, yeah. That sounds good, then. This just helps us sort of gauge when we would need to have some of our findings ready to go, so I think that's really helpful for us.
Well, and just a heads up, I don't know how helpful it would be, but I was in a discussion yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, if not this, what else? Mm-hmm. Or are there other things that might be even better. So that might be one of the questions that comes up at governing board. So even if we come together and we have all of this information, say, yes, let's do it, I think there's at least one library saying, what about this product? I really liked this product. So I don't know how that might factor in into the deliberation part, or just maybe as part of the presentation, you know, just to try to anticipate what might be brought up.
Yeah, and that was a question that was previously brought up, is are we looking at other discovery interfaces? At the time, this is obviously a great opportunity for CCS. We're only one of two Polaris consortia, so the other is Pinnacle, which is another local Illinois consortia. So we have a great opportunity to drive the development and make sure the product would work for us. That being said, it is a responsibility as well to look at long-term like services in future, and is there a solution that would be better for us?
So I think that'll probably be brought up again in January. It sounds like.
Yeah, and I do hope, so with Vega, it's a platform of multiple solutions. So Vega Discover is the first product under that larger Vega platform. It's specifically a discovery or catalog interface. Coming down the pipeline is an engagement product, a analytics tool, and then a events program management tool as well. So hopefully by the time we meet in December, we'll have some more information again about these other tools because that could factor into our decisions as well. But at this time, Discover is really the first product that's out, and we have little information on the others.
Great. Thank you.
So can I just, you know, just in light of this conversation, and I'm getting up to speed on some of this stuff, when I look at, like, what our roles are as an executive committee, like, reviewing this before governing board doesn't seem like it fits any of the specific things that are part of executive committee. Again, this is my first time here, so I don't know if this is just kind of what it is, but it's not looking at membership, it's not looking at, it's not negotiating a specific contract, it's like, it's really looking at a service-based offering. And so how does that, like, in terms of governing board authorizing, does the governing board need to authorize, I guess, the executive committee to say this is work that the executive committee is going to be doing to bring back a recommendation? Or I'm just trying to understand that, you know, just process-wise, because it seems like this is going beyond the scope of kind of just basic contract fiscal responsibility and review of the director, and so it's getting into a little bit more of the, like,
honestly, that was nagging at me too. When we approved the contract, it's because our purview is to look through contracts and approve them, but we weren't necessarily approving Vega, we're looking at the contract.
Right, that's what I mean. That's a contract.
And I can see why
as opposed
it was brought back to us, but like, yeah, I have a question about whether this, like, should this be the Adult and Youth Services Forum's recommending? Like, I'm trying to figure out who this actually is. It's not the catalogers.
Yeah.
Like, who should... But somebody's got to recommend it to the governing board, or does the governing board just get it recommended by the executive director? you know, which is another thing.
Beth and I had talked about this a little bit prior. We said, is this a long-range planning recommendation versus executive committee? So that is another, if we want a recommendation to come from a governance group, it could be long-range planning. But because the recommendation and approval of the development partner came from this group, we thought we'd bring it to you guys first to see what your preference would be. Technically, there will be an approval of a contract as part of this. As Sarah knows, you spent a lot of time working on that SAS contract that was never signed, thankfully. So there will be some approval of a contract that would be involved in this decision.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying, are we expanding the role,
right,
which could then create issues?
Right, I'm asking that question, and again, because I'm kind of coming in, feel like I'm coming into this a little bit midstream, you know, because we've already, I know the executive committee's already done some work prior with Vega, so I'm just trying to understand, is this expanding the role beyond what executive committee should be doing?
I think that's a valid point.
Can you tell us more about the alignment you see with long-range planning?
Because this would be
part of the strategic plan.
Part of the strategic plan, and sort of this was one of our strategic objectives this year, is to participate in this partner program, and long term, this would be essentially putting our eggs into the Vega basket. I'd have to look at the contract again if it's a one-year, multi-year contract, but we would essentially be saying we'd be committing to this service for a period of time. We could also, we could take it to our technical or our advisory groups for a recommendation to governing board if we feel that that would be enough for U.S. directors to. Ultimately, the decision lies with governing board, whether to vote yes or no.
And the suggestion was made that the recommendation could come from the executive director. I don't remember which one of you.
I said that. I mean, I was just looking at this decision-making matrix on page 11. And, like, you know, this general ILS settings change, staff recommends and executive director approves. We're saying that we want to make sure that it goes to governing board approves, and then shared ILS settings change. So it fits there then. So a staff committee, that means like that could be the UX committee recommends, the executive director says, yes, that's a good idea, and then it goes to the governing board to approve. So that seems a file of a matrix if we're looking at that second to bottom shared ILS settings change. And so, but obviously the executive director would, for something so large, would want to seek input from, I see no reason you can seek input from us, though, or from whomever.
I would say that it doesn't quite fall under that one. That is a change of a setting that's already standardized. Like this. So this would be an addition of a service.
So whatever's on here doesn't actually apply to this situation.
I think the closest match would be in that last box, the very bottom row, which is addition of service or policy change. Mm-hmm. This is specifically relating to the ILS. This would be an addition of service. We're adding a new catalog interface. So per this chart, it would be either an advisory group or a technical group would recommend that to governing board.
So, and it's just my perspective. I mean, I think it makes sense that this would probably should have been an ad hoc committee that would have been doing this review, because it's a significant, I mean, it has significant impacts across the entire consortium. And so being really clear with an ad hoc committee that's responsible for pulling together, because I think as I'm hearing this conversation, there's all these different groups that could potentially be pulling together, and having an ad hoc committee that's really focused on doing that work and then bringing that recommendation back to governing board probably makes the most sense. It doesn't matter to me if it's the executive committee. That's fine. It's just bringing together people who like have a best interest. As you said, there's three of you who are part of the beta that, you know, I don't know if I'm going to have as much of a background base of knowledge because I'm not part of the beta. whereas other people, like the groups that are part of the beta, are going to really have, I think, a stronger voice of being able to say, this is what it can do, this is how it works in our environment, this is the recommendation that that we have. So.
And even if we aren't deciding in this group, we can still talk about it and have some input going forward. But you were talking about some advisory or group.
And I think the question internally is which one, because we don't really have one that the closest match of an existing group would be the user experience advisory group, which is cross-departmental. We do not have any administration on that advisory group. Sometimes we would take, this isn't really a decision we take to, for example, database management. It's kind of outside that scope. So I do feel the closest match would be the user experience advisory group.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think the user experience group is like the one who's designed for these sort of decisions.
Right.
And so if they recommend it, you know, I think.
And that's what we're looking at, user experience on this one.
Yeah, that's ultimately what we're doing.
And then the role of deciding, you know, based on price, based on the big picture, that would be more straight to government.
Governing board. Okay. I'm comfortable with that if this group is comfortable.
How does that work in terms of timing?
The usability, the user experience advisor group, they have a meeting scheduled for November, mid-November. Mm-hmm. Okay. So timing would work reasonably well. We could certainly present their recommendation to this group in December at the meeting, so you were
in the loop. I think that'd be wise, because that way, like, we could put a stop to it, if, like, not even bring it to the governing board if we're like, this is actually a bad idea.
Like, if we don't recommend.
Because we're all hoping that this is going to be a win-win-win-win, but sometimes things suck.
So we can sort of be the poking holes in things.
You can help us determine what additional information
they would make that original recommendation to us. We wouldn't necessarily decide, but it would just be kind of a
vetting process. We can go into our minions and say, this is how you're going to vote.
Minions.
You don't have any? I thought it came.
I think this makes a lot of sense. I think this makes it, you know, you have a strong base for the process. Then when you make the presentation, there's no, you know.
So then the presentation there would be made to governing board at the January meeting.
At this time, that's what we would plan. Mm-hmm.
With the expectation that we would be, like, deciding at that meeting.
Yeah.
That would be my only thing, is if all of a sudden there's all these questions, because, you know, there's the 28 of us in the room, you know that, right? So then what does that do in terms of timing? If they say, no, we really can't vote, we need this, this, and this, or we want to wait.
It's going to depend on Innovative's product timeline right now. Our contract specifies the time we need to move to Vega based on various, like, points in their development project.
Right.
So it's not like we need to know by January. The deadline is 6 months after general availability. We need to have, someone needs to be live on this product per our contract. So depending on when that availability is released, then we could maybe have till April to decide if we're delayed, but it could also be March, in which January is the last meeting. We could also, though, of course, have a special meeting. Mm-hmm.
Well, what if this process was shared with the governing board via email, you know, so that at least that's one thing to check off the list. There's not, well, what? I didn't know this is how we were doing it.
So that would be a good idea. This is the process we've decided upon at executive committee. And so don't be surprised in January when we get this recommendation, not necessarily from us, but don't act like it's the first time you've seen it.
We're planning. We planned all along that the October governing board meeting would be sort of prep for January. CCS would talk to governing board about what are the criteria we're going to be using to determine whether we should move or not. So that is our plan for the October meeting. So we can incorporate sort of this decision-making pathway as well, that we'll be taking this to the UX group in November, asking them to issue a recommendation to governing board. And then we'll talk again and get sort of our baseline criteria for discussing the pros and cons of the choice.
And maybe that would be a better alignment for addressing, I know of at least one library that they're still holding on to, like, well, are we looking around at other options to just quell that for the January decision.
That sounds good. I think that that works out perfectly for us, and it just gives my team clarification on where we're going with the questions that we have. So I think that is perfect. We'll obviously plan to continue to give updates to this group, but October Governing Board will talk about what we've determined here. We'll talk about our criteria for acceptance or not when the January vote comes. We'll have the UX group make a recommendation in November. We'll discuss that in December, so we're all prepared. You guys can, again, poke our holes, ask all the really hard questions, so that then when it comes to January, we'll have hopefully enough information to make a decision. Again, if not, and we can't make a decision, I think then it would potentially just require a special meeting. Okay. Maybe, or a postponement until April, depending on the timeline. Okay.
That's
perfect.
Good.
All
good?
Awesome.
Thank you, guys. That's very helpful.
Okay. COVID-19 update. So obviously, we're all sitting here with our masks. I think that Deborah and I included this on the agenda to discuss whether or not everyone is comfortable continuing to meet in person. I know there's a lot of stuff going back and forth on the retro listserv about the executive order and whether or not we could continue to meet remotely if we so choose. We would just have to determine that we want to do that. Right now, obviously, we're here. I mean, I feel fairly comfortable here. It's a smaller group. We're meeting in October at Lake Villa. Obviously, that's more of us and closer together a little bit.
Totally different world by October, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we want to make any determinations right now or just kind of keep this on the back burner, you know, keep thinking about it. I know you're all thinking about it for your own libraries as well as I am, and make a decision for, I mean, I guess, A, we can decide whether or not we want to meet in person next month, and then we'll be 1 month further along in whatever new reality we're at, and then decide for October. I mean,
I think we do expect the governor to issue another emergency order in a couple of weeks, whether or not that would include the previous OMA modifications, it's not clear at this time.
So he'll probably extend the disaster declaration, which is what we would need as a group to say, well, you guys know this, right? To say that, you know, we would meet remotely. I mean, does anyone want to make that determination now for our September meeting, or do you want to do it in person, or at least plan on doing it in person right now unless something drastically changes, and then we can at that point consider what October looks like as much as we can?
What would we expect to change that would change our minds to meet in person or not?
I guess if cases.
I mean, I think pretty much every county, except for somehow McHenry County yesterday, but I haven't looked today, you know, our high rate of transmission.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, that would be trigger enough to say, let's go back to meeting virtually. Just because that covers all the counties for all the CCS libraries. And I don't know what information we're going to get that's going to look a lot worse than every county being high rate of transmission before we say, let's go back to virtual. I don't know if you all saw the municipal minute, if you get that with the FAQs.
Yeah,
that was helpful.
I said that to my board president yesterday and said, you know, I suggest you consider this as an option going forward.
One perspective that one of our trustees shared that I thought was particularly helpful is, you know, he focused on what is lost and what is gained by doing this, and in comparison with some of our other meetings and services. And from his perspective, there's not a lot lost in meeting virtually.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually better for some people with hearing loss, without the masks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably a direction that we as a library are going to be going in. I would be very comfortable at this point, given this information we have from Ansel Glink, et cetera, just going ahead and planning to meet virtually next month.
At least for executive committee. Do we need to vote on that?
We
just make a, or we all agree. Is everyone comfortable with going back to the virtual meetings, at least for the September, right? For an August time, that's also a meeting.
We can take it on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
I think we can be flexible.
Yeah. So for September, then let's plan a meeting virtually and we'll see where we're at.
Okay.
Hopefully better, but I'm not really matter of.
Well, side note, it's another Friday the 13th this week,
Oh, joy.
And remember March 13th, November 13th.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Don't even say those. Don't put that thought out into the universe, Heidi.
I'm going to talk about things like that. We're going
to go. That's the day that we'll live in. That was our last day here in the CCS office. Oh, we're like, we'll go home, see you in 2 weeks, and just never back some of us. What a day.
And then everything was extended 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. It's like that's like the human brain. I was reading something about this at the beginning. Like the human brain can just kind of, that's the only thing they can grasp. It's kind of the longest period. So that's why everyone's checking, oh, in 2 weeks. Well, in 2 weeks. And here we are, many 2 weeks period later.
So I think, though, at the beginning of the meeting, then, are you still going to be acting governor?
I will.
Meeting?
Correct.
So then you would have to issue a statement at the beginning of the meeting saying that you're declaring it.
Is that me or is that Pam? I think
it
might be
Pam.
Okay. As the leader of the public body.
Yes, Pam would do it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And wouldn't we probably on the agenda need to state that that's been declared by the president?
Yeah. Just remind me.
We'll work on the logistics of that. But I do think you have to, in some fashion, declare.
Yes, acknowledge it. Yes. Okay, so right now we're planning on meeting virtually for the September meeting.
And would we make a determination in September about the October Governing Board meeting then?
I believe so, unless you feel prepared to do that at this point in time. But if we'd prefer to take it month by month, we can wait.
I would feel more comfortable waiting a little bit, just so we can, we've all seen how quickly things can change. So.
Yeah. And I think we might want to give more notice if it was the opposite, but because we've already told everyone we'll be in person, this should be a smaller adjustment, I think, for everyone.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else you want to with COVID?
No, nothing for me.
Okay. Did you have any other questions?
No, she
was. It says a glimmer of hope. So potentially meet in person.
Yeah.
I know. She's getting pushed for that.
And I'm the doomsday person over there.
I don't know. I feel like I go back and forth all the time.
Yeah, no kidding. So the next item on the agenda is the workers' compensation update. We included this. Deborah has just some brief information about a workers' comp claim that I thought was important that we know.
So last month, CCS worked with Lyra, HR Source, and the Hartford to submit a work comp claim on behalf of an employee who was in a car accident while driving home from CCS business. So the claim was approved, and CCS has completed all of the necessary paperwork on our end. So the Hartford will now work directly with the employee as needed. So we did want to give an update to this group because it may potentially impact our insurance rates moving forward in the future, though at this time that's unclear.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. They're okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just for clarification and for my own edification, they were on their way home from CCS work to continue working from home, or they were on their way from CCS were home at the end of their day.
That is correct.
At the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So CCS has been having just some discussions regarding, especially if we're moving to a hybrid work environment, on whether we need to make some policy adjustments and changes and how, again, this could impact just future CCS business as well.
Sure. I'm only asking because when I had talked with my agent about, we had a potential claim at my library that was not similar, but we got to talk about different scenarios. And my understanding from what our agent said was if it is your regular commute, then it's not the responsibility of the employer. But if you're traveling for the employer, like if you're going home to continue working, you're still on the clock. But if your day is done and you're heading home, then it's not a work-related incident.
That's what I understood from ours, too. So.
And that's what we were originally told by Lyra, that it most likely would not be approved, but out of caution, we should file anyway, which we did. Okay. And then the message I received from Hartford is that Illinois approved 9 out of 10 of all work comp claims, regardless of the scenario, and they approved this one. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely the messaging we received originally, but and they were very careful to make sure that they understood, was the employee on their way home or was the employee then making another stop for CCS business or what was the scenario, and it was still approved.
Okay,
so.
Good to know.
That's why we have insurance.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Any other questions related to that? Okay, great. Prospective member update.
Yeah, I'm happy to give this update, just a quick one. Warren Newport did reach out to CCS again to start talking about a membership quote for joining the consortia. So we will begin working with them next month to put that together. So it's still kind of far out in the future. Their contract with Innovative extends another 2 years until 2023, so it's not something we'd start working with them on right away, but we'll definitely, well, not definitely, but hopefully will be down the pipeline for us. So I know that they had previously reached out way back in what feels like 500 years ago in 2020. So they are still interested after COVID is done, and we'll begin working with them next month.
Okay, so we're going to adjourn to closed session. So just make a motion to adjourn to closed session for the discussion of pursuant to 5 ICS 120/2(c)(1), the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body.
So moved.
Second.
I think that is roll for closed session, yeah.
Austin?
Yes.
Jacobson?
Yes.
Leffler?
Yes.
McNulty?
Yes.
Murray?
Yes.
Shepard?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
And I have 10:37.
Ready? Okay, I will call the regular meeting back to order at 10:41 a.m. of the executive committee meeting. Beth, can you call the roll?
You're just like making Beth read names.
Only seven names. Austin?
Here.
Jacobson?
Here.
Leffler?
Here.
McNulty?
Yes.
Murray?
Here.
Shepherd?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Deborah Wishmeyer and Beth Stoker.
So do I have a motion do we have to do a motion, right? Extend the leave of Executive Director Rebecca Malinowski from August 12th to September 13th, or with the return date of September 13th.
I'll make that motion.
What? I'll second it.
Okay. What?
I don't know who got the motion.
I did.
So sorry.
The warning is just to extend the leave of Rebecca Malinowski with the return date of September 13th.
Yes.
Okay. I was looking for it and I didn't see it, so.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Okay.
Would you like roll for that?
Yeah, let's do roll for that.
Okay.
Yes.
One more time. Austin?
Yes.
Jacobson?
Yes.
Leffler?
Yes.
McNulty?
Yes.
Murray?
Yes.
Shepherd?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Do you want me to let Rebecca know that, Deborah, or will you be talking to her?
I can let her know, unless okay. You prefer to do so.
If you just want to copy me when you email
sure,
her.
Sure, sounds good.
Great, awesome.
Please give her our best.
Yeah,
I will.
I told her I thought it was very likely that this would happen, but she was going to wait until it was official, obviously. So, anyway. Okay, great. Moving on to reports. President's report, I don't really have anything. So, Secretary?
No report.
Treasurer?
I don't think I have a report, Beth, do I?
No.
That's what my board says to me.
We continue to work on the audit.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. That's
but
what
I
may be
stealing that thunder from Deborah's report. Sorry.
Committees and groups. So, any questions for Deborah regarding her report with committees and groups?
Appreciate the information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then acting director.
Does anyone have any questions on anything in the packet?
No questions.
We're chugging along as normal here.
Did you get any feedback from any other from directors after Biz's presentation?
I had a handful of directors reach out for her contact information because they're interested in having her present to their boards as well. So as far as any libraries that are interested in implementing the field, I don't think anyone is at that point yet, but I did hear a couple libraries say that they may be interested in the future just based on the information Biz shared with everyone. So we will move forward with implementing that field in September. You can see in the update in the packet, a database management approved an additional free text field that will allow patrons to self-identify their race and ethnicity, acknowledging that the federal standards are rather limited and don't necessarily reflect how individuals would see themselves. So that was a recommendation of the consultant that, again, those federal standards are very limited, and we want to help the community and not potentially do more harm than good. So we will move forward with that in September. Evanston will be taking some policy changes to their board in September, so they would plan to begin using the field after those changes are approved. So a little bit later, but we are taking the time, obviously, to be very thoughtful, and Evanston is doing a really great job on their end of making sure staff are comfortable, prepared for the change.
Have we learned anything about whether patrons would be able to self-report the tag?
That is something right now that is not, they're not able to do with our current configuration.
Any other questions for Deborah?
About the office lease? I saw something about a floor.
Hi, you want to give that update?
Sure.
Beth has been working hard over here.
Once we realized that they actually moved into the space in 1993. So the lawyer and the broker has reviewed all three leases and agreements, amended leases that we have, and CCS is not responsible for removing this raised floor. It was here when they moved in. That was the question that came out of our tour with the broker, and then the lawyer reviewed that. So we have all that language. That was just something that we were concerned if we were responsible for, we'd want to ensure that cost was included as part of like the development fund list of costs. So.
And when's the contract going to come?
August 31st, 2023.
Okay, so a little
water.
Like two years and about 2 weeks.
She's not coming down.
I'm not coming. You're in your office. I'm
right. Big tax.
Any other questions for either Deborah or Beth?
I had a question about the circulation technical group discussion of Find Free. If there's any updated information on how many of us are Find Free. And I remember, actually, I think it was Brian, had previously said, at what point do we consider becoming a Find Free consortium?
We are almost entirely Find Free. At this point, I believe, let me just make sure I'm not saying anything correct, Winnetka recently went Find Free, and I believe Glenview is currently in discussions. I'm not quite sure if they've voted yet to go Find Free, but based on, have they, maybe? But I believe that they will be our next library to go Find Free. Park Ridge is currently in the midst of a year-long exploration into whether they want to permanently move Find Free. That ends in October, so I hope at that point that they will be able to make a determination. Previously, they were only planning to do that study for 6 months and then extended it through October of this year. So we are anticipating they may potentially go Find Free as well, and then that leaves one library left. It would be McHenry.
So I think we have a McHenry County director meeting coming up. I'll have to...
Yeah, and then I believe, I don't think I missed anyone. I think that's it. So, I mean, it's a drastic change in just the span of a year. I think at the beginning of 2020, we had 11 Find Free libraries. So now we have shifted to, can't do math, 24 or 25. So it's a big change. At that time last year, we talked about whether we'd want to have sort of a consortia shift to Find Free. And I remember Rebecca saying, well, we're going to see if it happens organically, which is certainly did progress that way. I don't know if it's due to COVID or other things, but yes, we are almost.
Auto-renewal was our big one. I mean, once auto-renewal finds...
plummeted, yeah.
Dropped.
So we can continue to monitor it organically. Maybe we could say in October...
I think at some point we probably do want to decide, right? I mean, if we're looking, I mean, I probably the next person that would potentially join would be Warren Newport, and I don't know off the top of my head if they're Find Free already.
They're my neighbor. I've been texting Brian
Yeah, I mean, so just something to consider as, you know, we start discussions with them about joining. Is this something we want to encourage if they're not already doing so, or require even? So.
I think it's definitely something we'd want to let them know what their peers are doing. I can look into see if they, whether they are.
Or just say, you know, if they are not, this definitely is the direction that the consortium as a whole is moving.
And they have 2 years, so.
Right, to make that. And I don't, like I said, I don't know if they already are.
I'm going to look that up, though, after we're done here.
January of 2019, they weren't funded.
So they already are, so, okay.
Great. If you have that on your list, I won't worry about it. Thank you, Deborah.
Okay. Any other questions for Deborah with that before we adjourn? Hearing none.
The brain is still, because if there are, I can ask more questions.
How long do we have to stay in the building?
You're welcome
to
stay.
Start
dripping.
Yeah, we don't have a great ceiling, so.
Okay, then just a reminder again, we'll be meeting virtually at our next meeting, so obviously for that information. I will officially adjourn the meeting at 10:50 a.m.